defined later, proved itself to be a soulless machine.
Porque después, con un tiempo, probó que el Estado era en realidad, como lo escribió más tarde, una máquina, un soldado.
You know, so he defined the state as a soulless machine.
Definió el Estado como una
máquina sin
alma. Without a soul.
Máquina sin alma. Máquina sin alma.
Yes. And so he had to fight the state.
Entonces tuvo que pelear contra el Estado.
But you know, even in his fight, he brought in certain principles. He did not consider anyone in the state to be his enemy. That was probably one of the best principles of his mind and their
action.
He said that we must learn to make a distinction between the evil and the evil doer. So when he was fighting in South Africa, for example, when he was fighting the British regime there, he was very friendly with those who were at the helm of affairs. When he was jailed by General Smuts in South Africa, what he did was he made a pair of shoes for him. And General Smuts later wrote, when Gandhi was 75, a warrior was brought up in his honor. And General Smuts wrote that, you know, these two shoes which Gandhi made for him, he could not wear on his feet. If he should wear it, he should wear it on his head. So he kept them as precious mementos. So this is an indication of how it would turn out if you consider, you know, the problem and you know, people who are responsible in from two different angles. So evil and evil doer, we have to distinguish. So even when he fought the state, you know, he did not consider those who steered the state to be his enemies. So when Gandhi says that, you know, the constructive, when he speaks about the constructive program, in the same pamphlet, he also has a chapter on civil disobedience. And this has really surprised many people. Because Gandhi said that constructive program is actually a substitute for civil disobedience. If you work out constructive program effectively on a mass and extensive scale, you know, then independence will usher on you. So it's not necessary even to think about civil disobedience. And in that same pamphlet, he is writing a chapter on civil disobedience. So what is the logic? You know, Gandhi himself gives the logic. Not only in this pamphlet, in the short note, the chapter he wrote on civil disobedience, but in other places. So I think I would save a lot of time and labor if I read out two
sentences.
What is issue of civil disobedience? I'm going to read out Gandhi's sentence, which is very simple. I'll be reading it in installments so that you know should be able to translate it. I wish I could persuade everybody that civil disobedience is the inherent right of a citizen. It's an inherent right. right of the citizen.
Es el derecho inherente de un ciudadano.
He dare not give it up without ceasing to be a man. That is, if you give up your right to civil disobedience, then you are not a man.
Sí, que ustedes no toman este derecho civil, entonces no son humanos.
Then comes the classic statement which is often reported. Civil disobedience, therefore, becomes a sacred duty. When the state becomes lawless, when the state becomes lawless, or which is the same thing as corrupt, and a citizen that barters with such a state shares in corruption or lawlessness. So this makes very clear what Gandhi thinks about civil disobedience. And in the next paragraph he writes, at the same time that the right of civil disobedience is insisted upon, its use must be guarded. By all conceivable restrictions. I read it again, its use must be guarded by all conceivable restrictions. Every possible provision should be made against an outbreak of violence or general lawlessness. Every possible provision should be made. That is, there should be no violence, there should be no lawlessness. Gandhi emphasizes two things. One, it becomes the duty of every citizen when the state becomes lawless or corrupt. But when we do civil resistance or civil disobedience, it must be totally non-violent.
And
care should be taken that there is no general lawlessness. You know, I will illustrate with one example in Gandhi's saga of fight against the British. In 1921, there was the non-cooperation movement. So from 1917, when Gandhi started his first satyagraha in a place called Champaran, or northern India, up to 1921, you know, there was widespread propaganda throughout the country about, you know, the people's role in attaining independence.
Había propaganda esparcida por todo el país sobre la responsabilidad de la gente de obtener independencia.
So the nationalist feeling was at a very high pitch.
Entonces el sentimiento nacionalista estaba en una sintonía bastante alta.
So in 1921, when the non-cooperation movement was launched,
entonces en 1921, cuando no se alcanzó el movimiento de no cooperación,
there was spontaneous response from every part of the country.
Hubo una respuesta espontánea de cualquier de todas partes del país.
And people rose in revolt. And it was predominantly non-violent. But in a place called Chowri Chowra in northern India,